I'd kind of like to ask a question tonight. I don't know if I want to call it the title of this sermon, but as we look at this lady, this unsung hero, I'll ask myself this and maybe ask yourself this. Who will weep at your funeral? Who will cry when it's time for you to go? Look in Acts chapter 9. Let's read this together. Acts chapter 9, the first part of it is the story of Paul's conversion. You know that he was Saul of Tarsus. He was on his way to kill Christians and he gets converted. So this is early on in the church. We don't have a lot of missionary journeys of Paul yet because he's not an apostle. This is early on in the history of the church. Go down to the end of the chapter. I'm sorry, it's actually on next page, 894. Verse 36 says, "Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas." She was, you know, I love how people name their kids Bible names. Jesse, Noam, Adam. There's not a lot of Dorcases running around, but I have known one or two. Wonderful name. Which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. Well, at that time, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Now, since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, he took him to the bed, the room upstairs. Now, all the windows stood beside him, the widow, sorry. They were weeping and they were showing the tunics and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside. And then he knelt down and he prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." And then she opened her eyes. And seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time, and there was a certain Simon, a tanner, and you can read on this week on what happens in that story. Tabitha. Or as they probably would have said, Tabitha, or known by her Greek name as Dorcas. That's it for her in the Bible. Some people like David, I think there are over 40 chapters in the Bible devoted to David. And yet other people just come for a brief little glimpse on the scene of God's history, and then they're gone again. And yet, what a legacy. Historically, as I already said, we're early on in the development of the church. The disciples are still kind of hanging out locally around what we know today as Israel. There's been no great missionary venture yet into Greece or into the Roman Empire. It's kind of still a local thing. Persecution is hot and heavy. We just saw earlier in the chapter Saul, who was going around trying to imprison Christians and kill them. And so they are kind of at times leaving Jerusalem, which is the hotbed of activity, and they're traveling to some of the northern territories. Joppa, which is still a city today called Jaffa, is a northern Israeli town right on the Mediterranean. It was a very ancient city because of its strategic port, and people would come and the ships would come. Even before Israel was there, the Phoenicians would come through the city that is known as Joppa. So it was kind of a metropolitan. There were not just Jews, but there were people from other cities and areas that would do business there. But there's this woman we meet named Dorcas. We don't know a lot about her, but there are several things about her life that I want us to note, because I think that Dorcas shows us the example of what it is to be someone that understands the importance of serving others. Now, already when I say that, we don't even really like the term serving. I mean, in our society, it's all about the individual. It's all about you. We read books on 5 steps to better your career. We don't read 5 steps on how to help your business partner be more successful. I mean, we just don't do that. We don't go to seminars to show how you can be help your team at work be more successful. We want to succeed, and we want the raise, and I'm not against any of that. But Christ calls us to live for more than just ourselves. The way of Christ is not a way that says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will make you the most successful man in San Diego. I will make you the most talented woman in San Diego." That's not the message of the cross. The message of the cross was, "Come after me, deny yourself, pick up some hard things, the cross, and follow me." And the call of Christ is a call to say, "RC, your life, many of the talents, the gifts, the time I've given you are to be invested in the lives of others. That's fundamentally what a lot of life is about. I think of it this way. When you come to know Christ, why doesn't sometimes He just say, "Hey, Phil, you're ready for heaven? Let's go. Let's get it on. Let's get it started." I mean, we got golden streets up here. We got feasts. We got lambs laying around with lions. It's a wonderful place. Earth is hard. Come on up here. Let's just go now. Why did He leave us here? Where there is heartache and there's trial. I think one of the reasons we are here is to be a blessing to the others that He's placed us around. And Dorcas is a wonderful illustration of this. I like Dorcas because we can look at Paul. We can look at Peter. We can look at James. We can look at Jesus. But sometimes it's easy to turn those off because they're too big of illustrations. I mean, Jesus. Come on, none of us are Jesus. So whenever we hear what Jesus did, we're like, we know that's Jesus. I'm not Jesus, so cut me some slack. The Apostle Paul, well, he's a great apostle. I'm just, you know, a teacher. I'm just a retired somebody. But Dorcas wasn't any great CEO. Dorcas wasn't an apostle. Dorcas wasn't a pastor. Dorcas wasn't some minister. Dorcas was just a person who followed Christ. But who understood that I may not have a lot, but what I have is to be given for the benefit of others. Let's see several things about her life in this story. One, giving and helping others was a lifestyle, not a once-in-a-while event. If you look back through this in the Greek, when it talks about the things she made, Greek has a tense that we don't have in English. It's kind of a what they call a progressive continuous. For the present tense, the Greek has what they call an aorist tense, which means it just happens, boom, once. They have another tense that when they use it, it's still present tense, but it's kind of like we would say, using. She is running. And it's a continual thing. And when it says and it describes that she was devoted to good works and acts of charity, it literally in the Greek says that was her lifestyle. That is what her life was about. Now, I know periodically we pass someone in need and may, oh, what do I have? A little something I can do. Or once in a while we'll deign to do something good at work that no one's even going to know about. I guess I'll just clean up the little coffee room since I'm here late and no one will see. But the question is that really what we're devoted to in our life? Are the acts of getting involved in helping, of spending time to serve on a committee, to get involved in a nonprofit, to tutor a child after school, to send money to someone that needs it, is it just a happen chance thing? Well, when I have a little extra time, I guess I'll go down to the church and help them with something. Or when I retire, I might think about, you know, going and doing something with the Peace Corps. Or when I get a raise in 2 years after my education, then I'll send some money. Because I think we've lived long enough to know that those kind of plans tend not to happen. It was her lifestyle. There's nothing in this text that seems to say she was a prosperous woman, an educated woman. Her name in Hebrew is just a very common townsperson name. And yet she know what I can do, I'm going to be devoted to doing it. I also like the fact that she understood, Dorcas understood, I don't need to have a great talent. I just need to use what God has given me. Do you remember from reading the text what she did for people? She made clothes. She just sewed. They didn't even have Singer automatic sewing machine with embroideries, which is so much fun. No. They had, I don't know what they had, just, you know, the yarn they had, I don't know where they bought it, or if they had to twill it themselves and put it through a needle and stick there. I mean, it was tedious work. And yet she would spend her life just kind of day in and day out talking, maybe someone sitting in the room with her, sitting out on a rock overlooking the Mediterranean Sea, sewing for the widows and the others that couldn't do it for themselves. I think in our society, because we have media, and because the people who make it to magazine covers and Extra and all these shows tend to be the sensational or the popular or the beautiful or the really extremely talented, we tend to think, let those people do what is needed to be done, and I'll just plug away with my life. But people, hear me tonight. There is not one of you in this room that God has not tremendously blessed with talents and resources that He would not like to use in His kingdom. You say, well, I'm not a really talented person. I don't sing like those people on the praise team. I don't play an instrument. I can't play drums. I don't have good rhythm. Are you good with numbers? I talked with two sisters today in the back of the church, and one of them has recently joined the choir, and she sings, and she's really enjoying it. And I said to her sister, I said, well, why don't you sing? Oh, I'm not talented. I can't sing. I said, we've got to be talented. We start talking, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm just a CPA. Just a CPA? I mean, you good with numbers? Do you know how many people in churches aren't good with numbers? You know how many people in church, when it's tax season, are just lost? Do you know how many nonprofits are in trouble with the IRS? Because a lot of people with really good altruistic hearts got together but didn't know a thing about numbers, and now the IRS is breathing down their back, and they're swamped because they just needed someone to say, hey, not really good at playing the drum, but I could do your books for you. You have talents. Dorcas says, I don't know what else I can do, but so also. I don't know what else I can do. I'm good with organizing things, so pastor, anything I can do to organize? I'll tell you, there are a lot of people in the world who need some help with organization. I'll give you my address afterwards. She used, not only was her lifestyle devoted toward others, but she looked around and said, what do I have? And take ownership of what I can do. I remember a lady coming to me once in church and saying, I'd preached a similar message, and she said, you know, I sat in church a long time, and I have always said, I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I can't do that. And I thought here today as you were preaching, I don't know what else I could do, but just, I'm good with kids. I have 8 grandchildren. I said, well, then, we sure have a lot of kids that need someone who's good with them. She said, okay, sign me up for children's church. So she started working children's church. And I remember after like 3 months, she came back and she made an appointment, came in, and she said, Pastor, I cannot believe how much I enjoy that. She goes, I always thought I saw everything going on stage and felt like I can just never be a part of this. She goes, but every Sunday morning now, I come into that children's church and we sit down and we sing songs together, and they don't know that I'm so out of tune and have a horrible voice, but we have fun marching up the hill and marching back down and God raising me a sunshine and all this kind of stuff. She goes, I love it. She goes, don't get me wrong. I mean, I enjoy hearing you preach, but I think I like being in children's church better. I said, that's awesome. That's what Christ wants in your life, is not for you to be a spectator, but say, what can I do? And use it for others. I also like that we see that her commitment to use her talents and resources had very practical expression. Now, why do I make that note? Because I know a lot of people say, well, I'll tell you what I do have. I have great wisdom in my life. I should impart into some of these people wisdom. Let me tell you how to do it. Let me tell you what you should be doing. Oh, I mean, churches are full of these kind of people who want to tell you. That's how they think they're giving into your life, is to tell you what you should do and tell you how you should do it and tell you how to raise your kids. Don't tell the young mother how to raise her kids. Just take her kids for a Saturday and let her go to the mall by herself. That's what we need. Practical expression. Don't sit with the widow and tell her what she should do with her finances. How about you go over to her house after church and literally get online with her and show her maybe some great investments to get involved with. Our commitment to people is not a commitment to just have ideas, but it's in reality. Now we all say, okay, that's a good idea. Then stop for a moment because we're almost concluded. Without saying anything out loud, take a little inventory. In the last 2 weeks, what are maybe 2 practical things you did giving and investing into other people's lives? Because we can all say this tonight. Oh, we know this is good stuff. This is what Christ wants. This is what we should do. Are we doing it? The thing that really is amazing is here's this woman that has never been in the Bible before that I know of. I don't know that she had any great talents other than she just made clothes for widows and poor people. Pass them out. That would be like someone who just works in a soup line downtown, passing out clothes at a homeless shelter. And yet it says that when she died, look at what they did. All of a sudden people came from all over and they mourned and they wept. And they're like, we don't want to bury her. Can't God do a miracle? And instead of doing what they should have done by Jewish law, which was immediately get that body out of there and buried, they put her up in a room and said, maybe, I don't know if they were trying to hide her. Don't let anyone know. She's up there. Go run and get the man of God. Go get Peter. I think he's in the town nearby and see if God will do a miracle. And Peter comes, and when he walks in this room, here's this scene of just packed place with people just weeping. As busy as our society is, many people, psychologists tell us, a huge amount of Americans live kind of lonely, kind of unfulfilled. Hey, you want to know the quickest way to get rid of that? Is invest your life into other people. Not looking around and saying, well, why don't people help me? And I've been at this church now for 3 weeks and nobody's invited me to lunch. Well, invite somebody to lunch. You cook and have them over. You invest your life into people. And I promise you, when you make a commitment to do that, you will find what Dorcas found. You will find that people will return the love. You know, it's interesting. I love things that almost all world religions agree on, because I like finding that commonality. And one of them is this principle right here. Whether we call it sowing and reaping, the law of reciprocity, karma, whatever you want to call it. Dorcas found that, you know what? If I give love, love comes back many times more. So think about tonight, what do you want the end of life to be like? Surrounded by people who love you, who care. What happens when you're too old that you can't sow anymore, or you can't carry people to the store any longer, and you need someone to do that for you? You will find that if you have spent your life investing in others, serving others, giving into others, helping others, when you get to that point, people will be there for you. I think it was just 2 days ago in the New York Times, there was an ad that said, not an ad, a headline that said a man's name, I'll call him Alan Johnson. It said, Alan Johnson, wealthy bachelor, found dead in his apartment after 3 days. Now, I don't know the whole story, and I mean, not want to put too much into it, but I thought, you know, there are many people I know that it would be hard for them to just be missed for 3 days. You know what I mean? Because they're so involved in so many people's lives, people would say, wait a minute, where is he? Sunday morning, where's Alan? Wait a minute, it's Monday night, it's rehearsal, where's Alan? People who've invested their lives in others, it's kind of hard to just be missing half a week and have no one notice. Dorcas, people wept when she passed. Scrooge saw into the future and saw, if I don't change my ways, I'll go and no one will even care that I'm gone. Tick, tock, tick, tock. We all are wearing different clothes tonight. We all have different favorite foods. We all like a different cereal brand better than another. But here's one thing I know about all of us. We will one day all breathe our last breath. And when we get near that point, I don't think it's going to be about how many Best Salesman of the Year awards we had received. And I don't think it will be about how big our wardrobe was or how many pairs of shoes we had. I think in that day it's going to be about how many people are gathered around us with tears in their eyes, loving us, caring for us, supporting us. And my friends, if you want that end, then we've got to realize, like Dorcas did, an unsung hero of the Bible, that I will spend my life loving them and investing into them and giving into them, whether it's your children, your church friends, your neighbors, the people God has placed you with. Because what you sow, you will reap. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you for this little glimpse, this little Polaroid picture of a woman named Dorcas. Lord, thank you that she wasn't greatly talented and had a lot of money. She was just a normal little woman. And thank you for including her in the book of Acts so that we could be challenged to say in our ordinary, very regular lives that we too can give to others and we too can be a blessing. We too can use our resources. Challenge us tonight to do that. We thank you. God, we thank you for all that you've given us. We thank you for all the tremendous resources. And now we will give them back to you for your glory, your honor, and your praise. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen.